Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. It's now time for Let's Talk Knoxville. I'm Samantha Smith. Our guest today is Senator Paul McKinley, here to get a recap of this week in the legislative session. Senator McKinley, thanks as always for taking time out to talk with me today.
Well, it's great to be with you. It doesn't look like spring out, but it'll be here before long, I suspect.
I sure hope so. It's been a little gloomy lately.
It truly has.
All right. Something that's been in the media a lot, and I guess the last 24 hours roughly, is this judge impeachment and the fact that there are representatives in the House that are trying to get a couple extra justices impeached based on the gay marriage vote. Can you kind of talk about what your thoughts are on that entire process?
Well, I merely saw the headlines this morning. It was the first I've seen about it. I will have to look at that, but it's... apparently some folks in the House have introduced a impeachment bill, and I have I don't know enough about it to comment intelligently, but it's rather late in the year to get some of that stuff going, so we'll just have to see how it works through the process. Honestly, don't know enough about it to make an intelligent comment.
All right. What kind of things have you guys been working on this week?
Well, of course, it's nearing the end of session, or hopefully it's nearing the end of session. We were supposed to be done a week from today, as a matter of fact, April 29th. However, we have really had slow going. The appropriations bills, that's the spending bills. The governor says he wants a two-year budget submitted. The Senate Democrats say they don't want a two-year budget submitted, and yet they did submit a two-year budget with the second year at just a half funding mark. So it sounds to me like the Senate Democrats will probably give in on a two-year budget, but they may want some kind of guarantees that there will be additional say in that second year. I really don't know. So it appears there is movement in the direction of what the governor demands he wants. Governors, we had a bill the very first week of the session where the House Republicans passed over a several-year period $500 million in spending cuts. That was reduced to $10 million in the Senate, and that has been in a conference committee, meaning the Senate and the House have been trying to work out details and get a compromise on that. That was finally compromised on. It was sent to the governor, a completely pared-down bill that turned into appropriations to keep, like, the indigent defense where attorneys haven't been paid for a number of months or weeks now. They will be funded in this compromise bill. Governor line item vetoed a couple of things in that. One was something that we in the Senate wanted, the Senate Republicans, which was bonus depreciation, which would have put some money now in small business and farmers' hands. And we know if they've got it extra money, they're going to go out and spend it and buy things in town and keep our rural communities going. The governor wants to make that. He vetoed that, wants to make that part of a larger debate on taxes. I met with him personally yesterday, and he assured me that they will try and get that in a later bill. So it's been a moving target, and we'll just see where things go from here.
Sure. And once the budget does finally make it through, obviously, the House, the Senate, and then is passed by the governor, what's kind of the next step in the session? Are things pretty much said and done after that point, or what else has to happen before you guys can adjourn?
Well, there isn't anything that has to happen except set a budget, and that needs to be done by July 1, the start of the new fiscal year. So that's really all we have to do. There are some things still pending. There is the bill that would protect farmers and livestock, folks who raise animals, protect them from activists coming in and filming them. So that's still in the works to get that bill worked out to give farmers additional protection from eco-terrorists and folks like that. We have a mental health reorganization bill. Many counties face soaring costs to treat the mentally ill and the people with those kinds of ailments. So we're looking at a statewide reorganization of that. I know the governor will pull some of us together next week, and we'll see what we can do there. Additionally, there may be some talk about seeing what can be done in Cedar Rapids to do flood mitigation. Apparently, they've got, if they want to continue being able to produce products related to agriculture, corn-related, oats, all of those things that are produced in Cedar Rapids that are in a floodplain, they have to go in and ensure that those processing plants won't be flooded out again. That's very important to all Iowa farmers. So there are a lot of big things on the horizon. Whether we get to all of them or not, I'm not sure.
Sure, and kind of heading back to this mental health thing that you were talking about, we talked with our county point of coordination, and she basically said that she isn't a fan of the and everything being centralized because it's going to take the power away from the county people who know how to deal with the people here, you know, obviously in the local area. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, you have a very good central point coordinating person, Betty Mall, up there. She does a very, very good job, and one of the things that Senate Republicans this week did, we insisted that there be local involvement, that we believe the local folks know best how to deal with local issues. We think they're closer to the problem. We think they probably watch the pennies a little closer. And in visiting with the head of the Department of Human Services this week, I had a meeting with him. And I believe the governor, I can't speak for the governor certainly, but they believe the counties absolutely have to be involved in this. So I think everybody's pretty much in agreement. How the final organization comes out, we just don't know yet.
Sure. Is there anything else you'd like to add about things coming up or that happened this week?
Well, it's a week that it was full of interest. I will tell you that I met the late-term abortion bill, which is would prohibit, it's really designed to prevent the late-term abortionist from Nebraska moving to Iowa. He is already advertising that he is moving into Council Bluffs. Council Bluffs folks do not want him to move there. And so there is a bill that would prohibit late-term abortion after 20 weeks. And it was quite interesting. A lot of people say, well, it never happens. And it's the babies aren't viable at that point. I met a young woman yesterday who was aborted at 31 weeks, and her mother aborted her, but she lived to tell about it and met with her and visited with her quite a bit. And she had her little 2-year-old daughter with her, so she's going around the state speaking very eloquently how late-term abortion, nobody should disagree with that, because these things do happen in spite of what opponents to this bill say. But unfortunately, Mike Gronsal in the Senate, again, is stalling on it and will not even allow an open debate so that people can see where their individual legislators stand on the issue. So that could heat up in the next week or two.
All right. Well, hopefully by the time we're talking next week, things will, as far as the budget and whatnot, are starting to close up. Thanks, Senator McKinley, and have a good weekend.
Thank you, Samantha.
Thank you.
Today's Let's Talk Knoxville is available on demand at KNIA, KRLS.com. Stay tuned for today's Let's Talk Pella next on KNIA, KRLS.